Good afternoon. Thank you for staying here with me until the end. My name is Rebecca Braun. I'm with the California Family Health Council. And today I'll be talking with you about the Hookup, a text-based sexual health information and clinical referral service for California youth. As we know, sexual health education and access to clinical services are key components of STD prevention for adolescents and young adults. And the widespread use of new mobile communication technologies offers unique opportunities to reach this population. Cell phone ownership is ubiquitous among youth. 3/4 of teens and virtually all young adults own a cell phone. And further, 58% of 12-year-olds own a cell phone, up from 18% in 2004. We also know that youth spend considerable time sending and receiving text messages. In recent research, it was found that 7th to 12th graders spend an hour and a half text messaging daily, and that they use more than 10 messages every single hour of the month that they are not sleeping or in school. Finally, the cell phone has rapidly cemented its place as a media delivery platform, and research shows that minority youth are actually the heaviest consumers of media content via cell phones. And I have to give a shout out to the Pew Research Center, because that's where my data comes from. So in April of 2009, the California Family Health Council, the California STD Control Branch, and Internet Sexuality Information Services, also known as ISIS, launched Hookup, a statewide text messaging service for California youth. The program is the first statewide service of its kind, and it builds on the success of ISIS's Sex Info program that was started a few years earlier in San Francisco. We do have a study, the limited source of funding, through the Infertility Prevention Project at the CDC, and we ultimately wanted to leverage the more than 300 California Title X clinics who offer free or low-cost sexual and reproductive health services via the Family PAC program, which is our federal waiver program for family planning services in California. In developing our system, we kind of had a number of influences to work with. First, our dual goals of providing California youth ages 13 to 24 with relevant and accurate sexual and reproductive health information, but more importantly, with a convenient and confidential resource for accessing local clinics that offer free or low-cost sexual and reproductive health services. We had to develop a system that worked for both our limited funding and staff time capabilities, and also took into context both the needs and requirements of our sponsors, and also complied with industry rules and regulations. Legally, we needed to have an opt-out option, mandatory user language that told a subscriber if there would be a charge affiliated with the service, and also introductory and off-message texts. And once given all these influences, we had to do usability testing with our target audience to make sure that they could, in fact, use the service as it was intended. So we designed our system to have weekly sexual health text messages on a wide variety of topics. As our source of funding is pretty limited, we do share a short code, and that means it's a keyword-driven system. So to opt in, subscribers would text the word hookup to the short code 61827. Each message contains a prompt to text the word clinic plus a zip code to get up to 4 local clinic referrals. In addition, it contains a link to our youth sexual health website called teensource.org. That website really serves as a referral service with much more information related to each weekly tip. There's also a clinic lookup that includes map and directions and a clinic website where applicable. And subscribers can, of course, opt out at any time by texting stop. This is a screenshot of what would happen if you went onto teensource.org once you received a tip. You could either do that from a web-enabled phone or straight off of a computer. In developing our text, we have 160 characters for our sender identification, our health education message, our zip code prompt, a website link, and then the kind of legal jargon that I was referring to earlier. We made a decision not to use text speak like OMG or LOL, really just to use common abbreviations in order to save space. Our messages were developed by health educators based on issues that were identified in focus groups we held in high schools and in teen clinics, and were then reviewed by clinical and health department staff. I have a list up here of topics that we are covering. I'll give you a moment to take a look. Teens identified really a very wide range of topics given the instructions of what do you need to know about sexual and reproductive health. They gave us a pretty wide response of issues that they wanted more information about. So this is an example of what it might look like to receive a hookup text. It says, hookup. Think you're in the clear if you don't have symptoms. Most STDs don't show. Get tested. It then has a prompt for a clinic referral, a prompt for our website, an opt-out, and some legal information. Marketing is a necessity for building and maintaining a user base. Therefore, one advantage of our system is that it's kind of designed to self-market, in that a weekly message is received by all of our subscribers. In addition, we developed guidelines that we called Marketing the Hookup on the Cheap, gave recommendations around promotion via local health departments and youth-serving organizations, press releases to local newspapers, posting on social media websites. And in addition, we created print-ready hookup materials and housed everything on a public access site. These are a couple examples. We have palm cards, temporary tattoos, and removable stickers. So what do we know so far? We know that between April and December, there were 2,826 unduplicated subscriptions to the hookup, with about 283 unduplicated opt-outs. 936 clinic requests were received for 429 zip codes in 39 counties. And that translates to about a third of our subscribers unduplicated requesting clinic referrals. The California counties with the highest number of clinic requests include Alameda, Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, San Bernardino, and San Diego. However, at this time, the proportion of usage among our target audience versus, say, public health professionals like all of you in the audience is currently unknown. At the local and national level, we haven't received any negative feedback about our content to date. We've been endorsed by local health jurisdictions, and here are a couple examples. At the San Diego Unified School District, we've been included in what they call their hot resource list, which is a resource that every high schooler receives on their first day of school. In addition, palm cards were distributed by teachers and by resource specialists. And at the Riverside County Department of Public Health, our hookup information was included in their sexual health education curriculum and also the trainings that they conducted for their sex education teachers. We received some endorsement at the national level as well, articles in Contraceptive Technology Update, the New York Times, and a video on the ABC News. And I think we've also formed some really important partnerships with the CDC, with Indian Health Services, with NACHO, and also with the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy. However, at this point, we really need to develop a system to evaluate who is using our service and also what they think about it. Our initial plans are developing a self-administered text-based survey for all of our subscribers, something that's easy to use, has a limited number of questions, and allows for quantitative and qualitative responses, as well as builds in an incentive for the completion of the entire survey, something like a phone-based gift card. Here's an example of a question we might ask. We want your help. First, a little about you. Text back guy or girl and your age, like girl 16. Answer more questions for a prize. A few things that we're concerned about in implementing an evaluation. First of all, survey completion, making sure our users get all the way through to the end. Having so few characters for question and response. And also that anyone who's already opted out of our system won't get that survey, so we won't have information from them, and I think that information would be vital to improving the work that we're doing. Our next steps to our evaluation are finalizing our questions, pilot testing with a subset, doing a focus group, and then implementing system-wide. This project has certainly not been without its challenges, and I thought I would discuss a few. The first challenge is around technical issues and issues with our vendor. We've been running this system for almost a year, and over time had been kind of hearing from folks in the field that young people were having trouble signing up or that they weren't getting a weekly message. And in working with our original vendor, it really finally came to our attention that the vendor we had selected really couldn't handle the technical capacity for the system. And we recently, like 2 weeks ago, had to switch over to using a new vendor. I think that just illustrates that you need both the technical know-how in your organization, but also really to vet the vendor that you're working with to make sure that you're creating a system that really works. A second challenge for us, and I say us collectively, is working with the State Department of Public Health. For us, this was weighing a balance between the support and credibility that would, of course, come with working with Department of Public Health, and also issues like bureaucratic review delays of the content of our messages and limitations to that content. We kind of grappled with this decision, but we ultimately heard from the field, from many of our field partners, and especially our partners that work in schools, that it was really important to them that this could kind of have the Department of Public Health stamp on it, and that was something that we were all committed to. So lucky for us, the State Department of Public Health, we've been able to maintain our relationship with them, and we really have been depending on them, and we're lucky to continue that relationship. And finally, with message content, though we did seek out youth opinions about what kind of messages they want. And we used health educators and clinicians to craft messages that we knew were, you know, accurate. We had heard from field partners that some kinds of messages they were really nervous about having implemented. For example, we had a message that talked about the safety of oral sex. And there were some field partners that said, I don't know if that's something that we could run in our district. So it was important for us not just to work with youth and not just to work with our partnership, but to really take it one step further, work with our partners in the field, and make sure we created a system that they felt comfortable with implementing in their local jurisdictions. So a couple of, well, gosh, more than a couple of words to the wise. If this is something that your STD program is interested in doing, first of all, really clearly defining the goal of your project. For us, I think the most important part was linking up the more than 300 clinics throughout the state that we know provide low-cost to free services to young people when it comes to reproductive health. So all the while, kind of at each step of the way, we wanted to make sure that we were working towards achieving that goal. And second, knowing the cost of your project, including future changes, and realizing that you certainly need to adequate staff time dedicated toward your project. Weighing the pros and cons of sponsorship and figuring out kind of what balance works best for your organization. Really conducting extensive logistical planning at every step and making sure that you include your target audience as much as possible. For us, that means involving California youth 13 to 24 in the development and also in the evaluation. Being realistic about your marketing capabilities. A system like this can only go so far as it can be marketed. And that would include having options and plans for future fresh marketing and really kind of taking advantage of all of the opportunities that all of these kind of social networking and new media sites have available, particularly given that many of them can be implemented on a low-cost scale. Developing an evaluation plan before you're rolling out your project. And finally, retesting your project regularly and having a consistent feedback loop from the field. So much of what we've learned about our project and the ways in which we've been able to refine it, we've really depended on our partners in the field to let us know how it works and who we're reaching. So in conclusion, within its first 9 months, the hookup has effectively provided low-cost sexual health information to many users and has resulted in a high proportion of clinic referrals across California. The programmatic platform can be translated for adoption by other STD programs considering implementing text-based projects. However, we certainly recognize that success hasn't come without its challenges. Ultimately, the hookup is an excellent model of a low-cost program using health communication and mobile technology to facilitate youth access to sexual information and services. That's my contact information if you have any questions, and have a lovely evening.
Okay, so everyone here was really terrific about abiding by their time frame, so we've left plenty of time for people to ask questions, to make comments, to engage in dialogue. Since the session is being recorded, please use the microphones, and please, if you've got a question or you're directing your comment to one of the panelists, let us know up front who that is so they can come up here to this microphone so their response can be heard and can be recorded. And over here at this microphone.
And I have a question for Rebecca. 160 characters seems like such a little bit of space for doing something, you know, some of these messages that could be, you know, sort of nuanced or complex. Did you find that teens would also visit teensource.org for additional information, or how important was it to have additional information on a website? Or was that really not a value-added type of situation?
I think that's a really excellent point. For us, it was certainly important to have a place to access further information, and that's why every single week as the new message comes up, really a whole block of information comes up on TeenSource. A lot of that is linking to other websites that are also doing a really excellent job providing that information. We are kind of in the initial stages of looking through TeenSource at how many users of TeenSource are getting to TeenSource through the hookup. We will ultimately do some more evaluation to say, okay, how many users of hookup are going to TeenSource. I think that we think of our 160 character messages as kind of little nuggets of information that built upon each other might ultimately interest someone into going into the clinic, remind them to going into a clinic, alert them that services are available out there. But I don't think we would consider kind of our pieces of information as really the be-all and end-all, more as really the beginning of a conversation that involves sexual and reproductive health. Thanks.
Other questions, comments?
I have a question for Rebecca as well. For the 936 visits that you had, were you able to compare that versus the run rate of previous years in terms of whether you had an actual stem of visits due to this campaign?
So that is something that I would love to be able to do. I would love to know if there are more young people going into our clinics because of the hookup. The problem is that we're working with over 300 clinics throughout the state, and we feel that the likelihood of any of those, say, 3,000 users showing up in any one of those clinics so that we could survey them and be able to say that the reason that they came into the clinic, or maybe one of the reasons that they came into the clinic, was the hookup, you know, just isn't likely and just isn't plausible, kind of given the staff that we have available for the project. And that's really where our decision came to start by surveying our users, and then as we build up more and more users, hopefully be able to implement something like that.
Okay, we have a question over here in red.
My question is for Dr. Gilbert. I noticed that holding the base of the condom upon insertion or withdrawal was not included in the top steps for your condom animation. How did you guys go about picking which were the most important steps to include in that condom demonstration?
That is such an excellent question, and I'm going to refer it to my I ran out of time to mention my co-authors, who were Anair Bariola, Amy Shea Wong, and Lynn Barclay, the president of ASHA. Those three were more intimately involved in the design of it, and I was more intimately involved in the evaluation. So I'll turn it over to Lynn.
Thank you. I don't know where the questioner went, but what we did was we said, first, can we do an animation that, as Lisa said, that conveys this complex subject? And we didn't try to convey every single item. And as we go through with time, we do add to it. And we're thinking about doing next a poster with one side will be the animation images, the other side will be text. Because there's just some of these, like the flipping, is so difficult. Of course, I go out into the community and I talk to people and I say, and don't do flipping. And they look at me. And I'm talking about 20-year-old guys. They have no idea what we're talking about. So we were still working on it. We just did it. Nobody paid us to do it. Nobody asked us to do it. We just said, hey, let's do this. So as Lisa said, we're always looking for suggestions. But we'll add that one next. We'll put that on the list.
Thank you. Okay, back over to this side.
Sure. I had two questions. Actually, one related to the condom demo. I'm curious about, as someone who works with youth, about having the bedside table. As part of it, I understand it, but it's very sort of marriage-like, and yeah, exactly. So I'm just sort of curious. It's just a comment. My next question actually is for Selena. thanks for your presentation. I had a question about your use with Facebook and how programs that are under-resourced. So I'm sort of curious what your experience has been and how much you contribute to it and whether or not you have youth in your programs contribute to the fan page. I don't know if that was clear enough.
Yes, I do want clarification, please.
Sure. What I meant to say is you as a staff person who's overseeing this, I'm guessing at a county health department, you're probably the only staff person. How frequently do you update the Facebook fan page? First question.
Okay. Yes, I am the sole person responsible for it, and I have my really own discretion as to what I want to put up there. If there's something that's kind of, you know, on the line of being a little too frisky coming out of the health department, then I do have to go get guidance from my departmental director or even sometimes the health director, depending on how it's going. But again, for the most part, I have my free range. And what's consistent is the weekly discussions. Every Thursday, 8:30, 9 o'clock, posting those. And if we don't have a discussion that night, I will put a post referring people to the text line if they want questions. And usually with updates, it just all depends on what's going on. For example, if there's a national event going on, like STD Awareness Month or HIV Testing Day, we have more information leading up to that those events or that week of events. And because also, too, we have more test events going on that time in the community.
So basically, it's once a week, and then if events come up.
Right.
Thank you. I was just curious about our programming.
Thank you.
Okay. Question over here.
Hi. This question is mostly for, I'd like answers from any of you, but the question is directed towards Rosalyn. It looked like one of the common themes that seemed to come up in your presentation is that there's a lot of questions about what's acceptable content for advertising and things like that. And I haven't been able to, I've been thinking during all of the talks of ways that we could still get the message out to people even though we can't use areas that are funded by other organizations that might not be happy with displaying an STD advertisement or things like that. And it kind of resonated when you were talking about the level of discussion that you were discussing. 70% agreed with it, but 9% disagreed. And my question is, if the 9% is what's keeping all of this information away from the people who need it, what are some ideas for getting that information out there without angering this 9%?
We plan to really use these data a lot. We're going to do a series of briefs and really widely disseminate them. And I think, to me, the idea is you will always get the angry phone calls, even if it wasn't, 9%, you know, there will always be some people. We actually did an opponents analysis of those that opposed all the messages. It's very, very small, but there are, you know, under 2%. And so I think, to us, it's really, and we're going to use this primarily with stakeholders, and normalize. I think the argument is that we need to be able to normalize discussions about STDs, and in the past, and there is a change in our administration as well, has been, but for many years, we were kept from, you would try and higher ups in the health department would say, well, you can't really say that or whatever. So it's a much more conducive atmosphere. And to us, I think what we're going to use the data are a series of briefs and short briefs and really try to educate as many stakeholders as we can to say, which I think a lot of us know, that there is not the stigma. I mean, there is some stigma, but that really, you know, people are pretty intelligent and they know these things are out there and they're interested. And so I think for us, it's going to be, you know, trying to just use the evidence in many different ways to argue for normalizing the discussion in public venues.
Yes, next question.
Yes, my name is Mansa Muhammad. I represent a CBO out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, called Suppose Incorporated. This question is for Dr. Gilbert. I'm very impressed with the flash. I know it's just flash, but when we go out to presentations, we have a check mark on our applications that says, would you like a condom demonstration? And a lot of people check no, because I guess they're afraid of how we're going to do that. You know, going to get a dildo. You know, are we going to put a dildo up there? We have a banana. What is it that we're going to do this with? And I think that's a very smart way of doing it. Well, I have two questions for you, really. First question is, where do I go to get that? I know it's just small, but I want to find out where I can go to actually get a copy of that slide or get a copy of that flashware. And the second question is, do you have any plans or initiatives into going CGI or even going 3D or hologram? I mean, are you going to stop at the flash or are you going to keep going?
What's CGI? I guess not. You know, it is so preliminary, and you know, that's just such an obvious thing. I forgot to put a slide at the end where to access this. It's on our website, www.ashastd.org. And then, where do you have to go, Lynn? You have to, it's kind of buried in there. Is it on the front now? Oh, she's going to have to run up.
Sit up closer.
Sit by the microphone. It's when you go to the ASHA website, look in the left-hand toolbar, and it'll say condoms, how to use a condom. And it takes you straight to the flesh animation.
Now,
and we can talk about licensing and offline. Yeah. The LA County Unified School District is trying to find out how to get it into all of their schools. We're trying to figure out how to make that accessible to them. So this thing is just growing. And we're not even, as Lisa said, trying. So it's got great legs.
All right, and the second question, are you planning on continuing this and doing better graphics?
You know, as Lisa said, we're always, you know, we're a 95-year-old organization. How many ways can you do the same thing? So we're always looking for new ways. I don't know about 3D. That could make the Academy Awards really interesting. But you never know. You never know. I mean, and if we could get funding to do it, I mean, as I say, we just paid for this ourselves. We just said, hey, let's do it. And we found a great company in Spain, and, you know, we figured it out. So the question is, maybe.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I also want to mention that I really do want your ideas about that tricky area. And if you can draw them, sketch them for me, and then bring them up after the after the talk, because it's hard to describe in words, but if you have little ideas in pictures, we would love to see them.
Okay, so whoever's the room monitor, bar the doors until everybody like leaves Lisa with a drawing. Next question.
Hi. Thank you, everyone, for that. This is a great session. I think coupled with the previous session, this is just wonderful work, and I think it's bringing new strategies towards the same problem. So my name is Eric Buhai. I'm with the University of South Florida College of Public Health. And my question, it's not really a question. I think it's more of a challenge. And it's, I'm sorry, I forget your name, the hookup.
my name is Rebecca.
Rebecca, I was going to call you the hookup lady. And I don't want to do that. I'm sorry. I think what you're doing is novel, and I think it's fantastic. And I think my thing here is why I'm standing here is I want to issue a challenge. I really want to challenge you to insert evaluation now into what you're doing. And the reason why is because I think what you're doing is very novel and very cool, but I think it won't last if you can't show people what you're doing is making a difference. And I hate to be a wet blanket. I'm really not trying to do that. I do evaluation work at where I am, and I just see how important it is and how programs are not sustainable if they can't show some sorts of effects beyond process measures like so many people texted in. And I want to challenge you to do that. I think you have the resources. I mean, I'll be willing to talk with you a little bit more on how to do it, but I think it's so imperative to show what we're doing is actually making a difference.
We can talk more after, and mostly due to having 10 minutes, we didn't really go into it, but we do kind of actually have like a three-stage evaluation plan over the next 3 years. One, what I was talking about finding out who our users are, two, kind of focus grouping and finding out a lot more about who's using it, and then three, really doing a couple of targeted evaluations in a couple of geographic spots where I think we can get a lot more information. For us, I think a huge challenge has been how do we evaluate a project that we're kind of getting out on the ground to counties and cities and schools and health clinics all across a huge state with a huge diverse population. So it's something that we want to do and we're in process on. We certainly could use some help. And so any of you, come on up and find me.
I just wanted to elaborate on that question before that I realized I didn't mention, because all data is local. And another opportunity with BRFSS is every few years, many states do an expanded BRFSS, that gets the data down to the county level. So, you know, we have also been able to add questions on the expanded BRFSS to get the acceptability of these public education campaigns at the county level. And so we think that will be, you know, important in your talk about evaluation. You know, it's a different, but I think it's something I would really encourage you all to look into, see if you have an expanded BRFSS, because then you can say, people can't say in this county, oh, that's different. You know, people at the state level aren't how people here feel. And actually, the acceptability of campaigns was really very good, even in the rural, small counties.
Okay, do we have other questions or comments? Are you all busily drawing or writing up evaluation ideas for all of these folks? Okay, so you've been a very attentive audience at a very late day, very late time at the end of a long day. These guys were terrific. Everybody stuck to their time limits, so we had a nice opportunity for dialogue. Please talk with them offline individually and join me in thanking them.